Brian Boitano has joined us on Sports Byline USA, and as I mentioned earlier, he turned professional, and he has won more professional titles than any other skater in the history of the sport. Brian, one of the things that is important in being successful in sport, and particularly I would think in figure skating, is consistency. And yet we all know from a human factor, you can't be the same every day, day in and day out in competition as well. How did you deal with the ups and downs of competing in figure skating?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. In any sport, consistency is probably one of the most important things, not only because it means that you're consistent, but when you are consistent, it gives you confidence. So when you get in those really high-pressure situations like the Olympics and you start panicking, you're like, you have this like sort of knowledge that's deep in your gut that you're like, I know I can do this because I've been consistent in the past. Most people who have performance anxiety and question themselves and don't have good performances are people, I think, in their gut that know that it might not happen because they haven't been consistent. So I really worked hard as a youngster on the consistency issue. I would go into the rink when I had the flu, and I would expect myself to do a perfect run-through of my program and, like, no mistakes. And, of course, I would make mistakes, and I would be really hard on myself. But I would expect, no matter what situation I got into, if I was tired, if I was hurt or injured, I would still have this level of expectation. And the other thing that I think really helped me, Ron, was that I got nervous every single day for my performances in practice because I knew I only had one chance. My coach only gave me one chance to run through the programs. So I knew that I was going to hate myself for the rest of the day if I made any mistakes. And so I didn't want to live through the rest of the day, you know, beating myself up. So I really wanted to skate well. And I think that the perfectionist side of me came out in that way. But it also really taught me that, you know, when I step on the ice for competition, it feels sort of similar to what I experienced at home in my practices. I put pressure on myself in the practices. I feel pressure now. Of course, when you're in an Olympics, it's like the pressure is just astronomical. But I still really felt like I nurtured that as a young skater.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. I can only think primarily of two American male figure skaters that have a definitive personality and are iconic to the sport, you and Scott Hamilton. Do you ever feel captured by the image, your image, and the success that you had?
Do I feel captured in my image in what way?
I go back to your early years when you were a jumper, and I always wondered where they labeled you a jumper, and I wondered whether that ever grated on you, just being labeled one thing.
You know what? It did then, but I was always proud of it. To this day, I wouldn't change anything. I would rather be a jumper than anything else. I mean, I really didn't in those days care about how I spun. I didn't care about choreography. I didn't care about artistic quality. It was a jumping contest to me. And honestly, it's that's the athlete in me. It's like I wanted to do the best and the most triples of anyone out there. And I think it's still the deciding factor these days that wins competitions. It's not really all the in-between stuff. It's really an athletic jumping contest, and to do all those jumps in a program with high pressure is what makes figure skating so difficult.
Was the 1987 World Championships, the one in Cincinnati, key to you because it really opened your eyes to some other things you needed to do to move up in the sport?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in retrospect, I was like, I think I was suicidal the night that I lost the world title and got second place. But it made me look at my skating, and it made me make the changes because, like I said, everybody was saying, you're a jumper, you're an athlete, and you know, there's not much else happening there. And so I was like, okay, you know what, I feel really confident about my jumping ability, and I feel like, you know, I have a great chance to win the Olympic gold medal next year. But now I've got to show people that I have this other side, and I need to find out the very best person who's going to help me do that. And so within 6 months, I transformed because I hired this choreographer, Sandra Bezic, in Canada. And she made it clear to me that I was thinking in the wrong way. What I was trying to do, I was trying to compete against those other guys on their own home turf. So, you know, smaller guys like Scott Hamilton and Brian Orser, who I competed against, they're really small and they have really quick feet and they're just quicker than me. I'm a big guy. And so I would try to compete with them on their level, trying to do quick stuff, because I thought that the judges wanted apples against apples. My choreographer said, you need to give them oranges. They need to choose between oranges and apples. And you know what? You do oranges really, really well. So do what you do best and put it out there and make the judges choose. So I really kind of reinvented myself and came back a totally different skater, and it surprised people. And the surprise factor alone was, you know, worth, you know, the points, because within 1 year I was a totally different skater.
Did you actually describe yourself as a jumping robot?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it wasn't me. I got that from an article, I think it was. And I think it was, at the time, it was hurtful to me, because it insinuated that I didn't have anything else going. But I remember someone in an article said I was a jumping robot. And you know, there was always this part of me that was like, you know what, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I, you know, that's what it's all about for me. I love jumping. I still do to this day. You know what I mean?
You know, when I take a look at your overall career, I know that it's not fashioned solely by you. There's coaches that come in to play, and then you mentioned about your choreographer. Talk to me a little bit about that relationship with a skater and their coach.
Wow. I mean, my situation, as you know, was completely unusual, because I found my coach when I was 8 years old in class 5. My dad took me skating when I was 8 years old, and each week I progressed from one class to the next class. So I went from one, two, three, four. In class 5, Linda Lever was coaching that class, and she saw me. I was learning 2 foot spins that day, and I was falling, because she said I was trying to spin too fast. And she said, just stand up and I'll pass you to the next class. She passed me to the next class, and then she went up to my parents, who were picking me up that day, and said, hey, can I, I'd like to teach him private lessons. And they said, sure, okay. And so I started with my private lessons, and she taught me on a public session. I can see it, like, as clear as a bell. She was wearing, like, this yellow jumpsuit, and she taught me all my single jumps in one day. And she went home that night, and she said to her husband, David, she said, I just taught a boy that's going to be a world champion today. And David said, you say that about all your students. And she said, no, this is really going to happen. So I stayed with Linda through my entire career. And I actually don't think that that's ever happened with anyone. But there was really no reason to leave, because I got great information from her.
Did she know, Brian, when to kick you in the rear end and when to pat you on the back?
Yeah, she did. In fact, she had to pat me on the back more than kick me on the rear end. I mean, she had to tell me, you got to get off the ice, not get on the ice. It wasn't, you know, because I was just so hard on myself. You know, it's that perfectionistic mentality that's kind of crazy, you know, that expects so much from yourself. So she did. She knew the thing that she excels in is within the matter of a couple minutes, she can turn you around from thinking that you're the world's worst skater and you have absolutely no future, and that what are you doing with your life because this is going nowhere, to thinking, I am going to win a world medal next year. She can do that in a split second. She has this way to encourage and make people feel really good about themselves, and at the same time, stay realistic about what you can and can't do.
We have about 90 seconds before we have to break. You know, sometimes when you have coaches, they see the athlete as being an extension of themselves, and they don't have any patience. But I always felt that Linda, first and foremost, believed in Brian Boitano. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always said to her, I'm like, you, God, what were you thinking when I went on the ice for worlds or nationals or Olympics? Aren't you nervous? Because she doesn't ever look nervous. She's like cool as a cucumber. I'm sure she was a little nervous inside, but she would always say to me, she goes, no, I trust you. I really trust you. I know that you're going to do what's right out there. So, you know, it works together. It's symbiotic. I mean, the way I feel about her, I trust her too. I mean, I know that she has my best, you know, the best things. She's looking out for the best things for me, and she knows that I'm going to, you know, trust her, and she can trust me to deliver when I need to.
What was the difference between the times when you won and the times when you didn't skate as well as you could have in the way she interacted with you, Brian?
You know what? She was very consistent, Ron. It was always, she knew that I was going to, like, you know, like you brought up, like 87 Worlds when I lost the world title and I got second place. It was like she was like, you know, as soon as I get off the ice, she's like, it's okay, we'll get to the bottom of what is wrong, we'll take care of this, we're going to figure it out, we'll just sit down and figure it out, and we're gonna be better because of it. It will really work out in your favor, I'm telling you, believe me.
1987, the World Championships, a disappointment for Brian Boitano, but when we come back on the other side, we'll talk about a very magical year, which was 1988, when he went to the Olympics and came away with the gold medal. Brian was the U.S. Junior Men's Champion at the age of 14, a member of the Olympic team three times in 84, 88, and 94, and in 1982, he became the first American to land a triple axel, and he's been inducted into the World and the U.S. Figure Skating Halls of Fame. We continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.